This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You do have your days where you're just more pissed off, but that's natural. As a human, you can't always be happy. I used to try and always read books when my mind was fucking going, do an overload, or try and do something to keep my mind busy, listen to music, watch films. But there's times where you just ultimately would just be pissed off, and I think that was all right. It was natural. We were in shit situations, so obviously you feel shitty.
So guys, life goes on. We're back.
It does. We're back. Hello.
We're back. Life goes on inside and outside. So today we're going to talk about that sort of time passing. Slowly, fast, what's it like day to day in prison? After you've got over, you know, we're talking, you've done the initial things, you've, you know, the
dust has settled.
The dust has settled, exactly. Thank you.
I feel like when you're working, the days do fly because the routine, as we spoke about, you're keeping busy, you're keeping your mind occupied, so the days do fly. But at the same time, the times when you're in your cell, if you catch yourself overthinking, you just think, fucking hell, this is long. So it's a catch-22. Some days obviously quicker than others, but ultimately, looking back at it, it was a drag.
Mm.
People, when you come up, people say, oh, it must have flown, but you're like, nah, it didn't fly. On the outside, time goes quick, but inside, it feels like it goes so slow. Don't know how you felt, Robert, I felt like that.
Yeah, probably both, I think, for me. It was, there are times when it can, like, you blink, you're like, oh, fucking, another week's gone, brilliant. And I don't know when you think why, but sometimes that can be like, oh, you've had a good visit, you're buzzing, life's good, it flies.
Yeah.
And then you might have a bad visit, or a visit gets cancelled, or something shit happens. And then, yeah, I definitely think there were times when you'd go, fucking hell, how is it only Tuesday? And you get that in the real world, but I think it's magnified in there where you're...
Yeah.
And then once you start thinking like that, that often leads to like, fuck, I've still got 6 months of this left.
And when everything is just a countdown.
Everything's a countdown. You've always got your eye on that.
Yeah, you try not to, but... Inevitably,
it's impossible not to.
Yeah.
And so I guess, you know, for me, like, I was on a... You know, I did 9 months. You know, can you imagine that for guys who have got 11 years or 5 years of that left? You know, I always thought that. I was always really mindful of that, I think, inside of going, fuck, I've got 6 months left or 3 months left. And then you're like, shit, like, there are guys in here. Like, you're aware of one not to vocalise that because you never know who you're sat next to. So can you imagine how shit that is if you're sat next to someone and I'm going, fuck, I've got 12 weeks left. Some poor cum who's got 8 years left in the sentence or something. So, but yeah, it definitely... You're right. Once the dust settles, once you're settled into that like rhythm, like you said, but it's like work's a big one. Once doing that, it's a definite blessing because you're out, you're busy, you're at least doing something semi-productive every day. But then you also, it's like Groundhog Week.
Mm.
Like, you know, not every day is identical, but they're very similar. But you look back, you just look back and it's a blur because you're like, well, I've done the same thing at the same time. It's just so much more magnified because your door is open to the minute every same every day. You walk up, you wear the same thing every day. It's just that like monotony of...
Do you think that is what causes you to get institutionalized? Like, did you become less flexible where if one day your door is being opened 5 minutes late, you're 100%. All over it?
And everyone used to kick off. If our door was like... For whatever reason, being the staff, being short-staffed or whatever, if the door wasn't open at the time when you expected it, you start to not get a sort of anxiety, but you start to think, what's going on? And then you start hearing people kick the doors and it would start kicking off. And that just
people
shows that...
Really
because we were so used to a certain routine.
Mm.
When there was a slight tweak to it, everyone would start moving mad. Yeah, so it was, yeah, It was very mad.
But it's the routine plays a big part of it. The routine is like your best friend in there in a way, because it just keeps you can tick over. But then, yeah, definitely at times you just want to do something different. You just want to, and you that's what you really miss, is that ability to go, do you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna go out for dinner here, or I'm gonna do or just go, I want to go and see a mate, or go and do that. You don't have that ability, and that's I think after a while, I definitely experience it, sort of starts to grind you down in one way, shape or form a bit, especially in the summer when it's hot. Like when you're there, you're banged up at 5 o'clock on a Friday, you know that your mates are out at the pub, or they're out doing something, or you know that mates are going on holiday that day or something. Those are the ones that if you let your mind wander too much on that, you can get really, really frustrated. You just feel sorry for yourself, is the reality of it. Right. Rightly or wrongly, that is probably it, you know. And I definitely remember sort of almost having conversations with yourself where you do feel sorry for yourself and you're like, fuck this. And then you basically have to go to yourself, look, it's my own fault I'm here. It's not forever. And wherever possible, you try and drag yourself out of that. But that said, there were also definitely periods where I just spent 3 days feeling really fucking sorry for myself and moping around. And you see a lot of that. And I think, you definitely learn a lot about your character, I think, in that bit, and what you're capable of.
Are you
and the
resilient?
Lows you're able to.
100%. Yeah.
You know, that level of self-pity you're able to go to. Because you do, look, it's a really shit situation in prison. You can dress it up and there's definitely positives. But there's also times when, you know, it's really fucking shit and there's no dressing up and there's no escaping it. And you just, that you can either brush it off, or some days you can brush it off and it's fine. And other days it just beats you. And you just, to varying degrees.
What do you think your lowest moment was?
I think when you have a shit visit, it's always low. It's when you have a bad visit, obviously when you first go to jail, it's obviously low. But you do have your days where you're just more pissed off. But that's natural. As a human, you can't always be happy. I used to try and always like read books when my mind was fucking going, do an overload, or try and do something to keep my mind busy, listen to music, watch films. But there's times where you just ultimately would just be pissed off. And I think that was all right. It was natural, because at the end of the day, we're human and we were in shit situations. So, but I can't put down particularly what was the worst sort of feeling, but there were definitely loads of days that obviously you feel shitty.
Was it in that kind of, I imagine there's a bit of a lull where the shiny stuff's worn off. Not that it's particularly shiny in a good way, but the novelty factor, I guess, has worn off, and that you're not quite looking towards release, but all you've got is this long stretch of the same ahead of you.
Yeah, that's why clock watching was
definitely that's a big part of it. I think that kind of, that kind of middle ground of like, the novelty's worn off and you still got a decent way to go. That's the hardest part, I think, like in terms
friends
of like
mentally
staying up there,
not
letting your head get down. And you see, I think I was in with a mate who was on a quite significantly longer sentence than me. And you could see him sort of battling with that, and it was very difficult. And it was also quite a difficult dynamic. We spent a lot of time, we were in Rochester together, we were on the same wing and chatting, and it was difficult because I didn't, I was approaching my release maybe, and he had 2 years left, and I could see that was difficult, and he was really good about it and was like, look, he was very pragmatic about it and was like, look, it is what it is, like, just get on with it. But also, there's no hiding the fact that's difficult when you're watching your mate getting ready to leave and you're staring at 2 years left. That's really tricky. And I think there's stuff in there that you realise the life goes on the outside. So I think I've missed 6 or 7 weddings of mates that in that time. And
popular guy, Rob.
A lot of weddings, to be fair.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean, there is a correlation. I'm where you get married. Those days when you're missing like a really important day in your friends' lives, and you're missing a really good piss up, more importantly, usually a free bar at those things. So, you're missing like those kind of days, and you're like, fuck, those are the like milestones where you're like, I'm not going to get a second chance at that. Well, some of them I might, but you're not. And so those are the days, often around those, you'd be like, why? You don't know, why am I in a bad mood? And then you're like, oh, all right, it's so-and-so's wedding this weekend.
Right.
Those times were tricky.
When you're missing out on something, those were obviously bad days, because you'd obviously had to carry on with your routine. But when you're back in your cell, especially when you're back on your own, you come to terms with what you're missing, and that will get you down, especially like little things like birthdays and maybe loved ones' birthdays, or things that, yeah, that special things that or occasions you would have been doing on the outside. That those are the times where you'd be feeling
Christmas.
Down.
Christmas is a big one. Like, yeah, you see Christmas a lot. I mean, there's a lot of down. There's a lot of upside down smiles at Christmas in there, because that's just really hard. Like, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm lucky in the sense that I didn't really have any. I haven't got kids. I haven't got, you know. It was really tough being away from my family, but for me, I'm like, well, it's one Christmas. You've got people in there who have got kids. They've got young kids. They're missing these really big kind of days. And even the strongest people in the world are going to, you know, mentally are going to, you know, struggle on those kind of days, because, yeah, that's just undeniably really, really difficult, I think.
So what are the sort of things that you would look forward to make time pass?
Fridays.
Yeah, Fridays.
Fridays was always a good day. Canteen day.
Fish and chip day.
Fish and chip Fridays. So, yeah, so you get
long, it was longer social as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, longer social. Yeah.
Longer association.
Loud out, on the wing for a bit longer. Friday was, so your afternoon, your evening meal would be like school dinner, fish, chips, beans. Donut. Cover it in ketchup, it almost tasted all right.
A donut.
And then, but then canteen was the big one. That was, so you'd order on a Tuesday, you'd fill in your form, and then it would arrive. Prisoner Cardo would come on a Friday afternoon.
You know what was good as well? If you'd had a visit, then you'd eat on your visit, then you'd come back to the wing, eat dinner, have your canteen, and then obviously people that used to get snacks, and then that would be... That's a good day.
You'd be living on a day
that's a good day.
Also, so you have Fridays, like visits was another one. Visit was a big one. So if you had visits coming up, that was... I found that was a... like if you had three mates coming up and, you know, that would be like that you hadn't seen for ages, because, you know, you just get 2 hours of good stuff.
And you've only got a maximum number of visits.
One a week. Yeah. When you're on enhanced, you've got one a week, I think, basically. And then, so you go up. So on a visit, though, you go up there and the food was so much better we had southern fried chicken wraps, hot chocolate cake with cream on it. So you put like this, like I'm genuinely like,
I can salivating, hear it.
Thinking about it now, like those are the bits you'd really go through it. And so that would be like, if you knew you had that in a week, you'd build up and you'd be like, you'll visit, you get yourself ready. You'd like, you know, put your best pair of Slazenger joggers on, your Slazenger trainers, your Slazenger t-shirt. So those bits you'd really buzz about, and like I can feel it now, like the excitement I'd get about a good visit. Fridays was good, you'd get a good bit, so you should get out on the yard for longer. In the summer that was good because weather's hot, get out in the yard, walk round in, you'd get 10 more laps of the yard in than on a normal day.
I think also on a Friday you'd feel like, oh, it's another week done, even though it wasn't an actual week finish, but you'd feel like, oh, it's another week done. So you feel like the weekend's here, new week's coming.
Black Eye Friday, bit of entertainment.
True.
See it kicking off. I mean, and I'm being flippant about it now, but that was, you look back, but that was on how you looked it in there, you're like, bit of entertainment, it'll probably kick off at some point.
So explain what you mean by that.
Black Eye Friday was, so canteen would come, and so a lot of the low-level debt, like if you wanted to buy, people wanted to buy like a joint or something, you know, the value of, let's say, 5-10 quid off someone, they'd pay for that with canteen. So instead of like giving cash, like you would in the real world, they'll go, right, well, that's a fiver, so that's 2 tins of tuna. So that would pay. But, you know, if you've got 20 quid a week to spend and you rack up 30 quid's worth of drug debt in the week or debt or whatever, there's going to be 10 quid not paid. So there's a good chance that person will...
It's going to get involved in a fight.
Yeah, it's going to get involved. So that was why, Black Eye Friday. So it meant that, everyone was coming to collect their debts from the week. And so it was usually a bit tastier on the wing everywhere you went with that. And then, you'd have that, a bit more soche, decent TV. That's a good one. Like, it was just stupid stuff like that, Friday night. Weirdly, I honestly think this, actually, you'd weirdly look forward to the weekend and not know why you were looking forward to it, because it's the
just
fucking same
habit
as every other day. But you do, or like the football might be on, so you might be able to listen to football on the radio.
The day's coming on,
on a Saturday. Sunday, you get roast.
I would think that the weekend would be worse because there's less staff on, you're going to get out less.
But there's better TV on.
It swings around, isn't it, boats?
Strictly X Factor. Now, Strictly X Factor,
Hang on, mate.
You know, you saw it, take me out.
Because you're giving me shit about watching BBC Two.
Take me out.
You've just said BBC Two. Strictly, mate.
Yeah.
Did you watch Strictly?
I did. 6 o'clock. 6:30.
Hang on.
Strictly was quite good, to be fair.
I feel an opportunity coming on here. Strictly, what, get 2020. Boats on Strictly. We've missed this year, mate. Let's get boats on Strictly 2020, mate. You'd look good in sequins, I reckon.
Yeah, but I can't do ballroom dancing.
That's it. You get taught. Don't worry about it.
That's just not my...
You bring Dutty Fridays to Strictly, mate.
Yeah, it's not my cup of tea.
Okay, we can work on this.
Yeah.
I reckon... Get that trending, mate.
Never say
get
never.
Boats on Strictly.
Strictly, hashtag Boats on Strictly. 100%. I used to watch that. Strictly.
Do you reckon you've got moves though out of interest? Do you reckon you could cut? You say you can't ballroom. If push came to shove, mate, if we get you out on that dance floor, do you reckon you could?
It definitely help with the ladies, I think.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
He backs himself. Good, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
So you get through the weekend. And then Sunday was a funny day, wasn't it? You'd get, because you got roast.
Yeah.
Apple crumble and custard as well. Or at generic like, fruit crumble.
At like 11:30.
Yeah, 11:30. the old roast brunch.
Big country walk and a roast.
But we said that. You'd have roast. Al used to get minimum 3 bowls of crumble every time.
Why did he love crumble so much?
Well, he's a fat kid, isn't he? So
yeah.
Fat kids love crumble. Everyone knows that. Yeah. But you'd have that. So you'd then go and sit in your cell on the biggest sugar come down ever with nothing on TV. The weekend's over. That was Sunday nights. For
you got Sunday feeling as if you're going back to work on Monday, but you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get them. But yeah, I mean, trust me, they are heavy Sunday night blues. When you're looking forward to another shift in the gym.
Rob, this is random. This is random, but when you was in jail, did Mall Cop always used to come on?
What?
You know, Mall Cop.
Paul Blart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why did it always...
Shit films constantly.
But always used to come on Sundays as well. Like,
what
always,
are you talking about?
That film just always
Who's the fat... Mall Albert Cop? Brenneman from Hitch. The fat lad from Hitch. Kevin James.
Yeah.
Kevin James.
Comes on Christmas as well.
He did Hitch.
I've seen that film, one like, and only good film.
He then did... What has to be the longest running string of shit films ever, I mean, they kept showing all of them, actually, didn't they?
All of them. And Miss Doubtfire always used to come on as well.
Yeah. Oh, but Miss Doubtfire, now I'm in.
That is a classic.
That's a great Sunday afternoon.
Boats's face tells me that classic didn't quite make it, or is not quite viewed the same.
It's too young for Miss Doubtfire. In the birthday
household.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just a random one. That.
Although on the surface, Mrs. Doubtfire, it's just a... creepy transvestite bloke. I mean, it's the premise is.
I think
we've been sidetracked.
I think you're overanalyzing. Yeah, Mrs. Doubtfire. All you need to know is it's Robin Williams.
But that's what happens when you're in jail. You overanalyze everything, innit?
Yeah, correct.
You do, innit?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, trying to overanalyze Paul Blart Mall Cop. I mean,
it's scary.
Just remind us how long you were in for.
Well, I did 9 months behind.
9 months inside.
Yeah.
16 months. Well, I just done over a year.
And then, so what was your first time? The first stretch.
Oh, I've done 6 months.
Six months. Okay, so you've done 6 months. So that's 6 months is long enough, isn't it? I mean, I think when I got to that, when I had 6 months left, I still thought, right, that's a fucking decent amount of time. It's long enough.
Yeah.
You know, when you're young and, you know, you're like, that 6 months wasted, that's, you know, you're 100%. Chomping at the bit to get out. So then you, having known what that's like, you then had...
You went
to
back.
Face that down, you
yeah.
You went back
for a longer, knowing yeah, for that. A longer sentence. Yeah,
was that playing on? Do you reckon that played on your mind before you went back for the second stint?
100%. But you're not as scared. You know what to expect, kind of thing. Obviously, every jail is different, but you know how to prepare yourself mentally. You know kind of what you're getting yourself into, so you kind of know how to combat it. Like in my head, I was thinking, all right, I've been before. You know what it's like. Just keep your head down. Read books, try and get educated, try and play the game a bit. So that was kind of my kind of game plan.
Do you reckon you weren't as affected by the boredom in that time? So because you knew it was going, you knew what that was going to be like.
Yeah.
You were able to get into a place mentally where you didn't hit that, or you didn't feel that kind of like, because I think it catches you off guard.
Yeah,
a bit,
because you become numb to it. You kind of do become numb to it. You get used to it, and you just learn how to combat it. I think
Because here's the thing for me, I think before I went in, what they don't warn you about prison is it's really, really fucking boring.
Yeah.
So before you're going in, for me, you're ready, you're like, right, I'm careful in the showers, try not to do this, yeah, XYZ. And when that doesn't happen after 2 weeks, you're like, ah, oh, this is all right. And then about a month later, you're like, oh, right, this is actually the worst bit. It's fucking so
boring. Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ, it's boring. And that affects you mentally. So I would say that was the bigger impact. I didn't get in any... Didn't get any trouble. I didn't get any fights. I didn't get any of that stuff. But it's really, really fucking so boring. And you make light of that. You take
waste of time. Yeah,
that's hard. That's hard to deal with mentally.
And what if you're faced now with a much longer sentence? Like, apart from all the, you know, ins and outs of it, how would it feel if someone
on my flight to Mexico? If you gave me 10 years now, fucking hell, I don't know. I'd find that really hard to wrap my head around trying to do that. I think I could. I think you would. You'd have
worse now that you'd know what to expect, or better.
Better. I think it would be better now in some senses, but I'm also probably more. I wouldn't be worried if you gave me a 10 stretch tomorrow. I wouldn't be worried about getting beaten up or any of that stuff. I'd be confident I could swerve most of that. I would be really daunted by the prospect of spending 10 years doing the same thing every day.
I think once you've been to jail, you kind of know the system, so you kind of know how you'd want to do jail. You could, that you could do it the way of making money, hustling. You can make it in the way of just keeping your head down. You could turn to the gym. You could turn to religion. Loads of people turn to religion, and tons of people
It's coping mechanism.
Yeah, loads of people start trying to educate themselves, using the time as much as they can to get as many qualifications. So there's loads of different ways you can kind of plan to do it. So that's,
Well, I think that's a really good point, actually, is I think actually if you look down to what people kind of get up to in there, I mean, like, there are some people that can happily just get their head down, tick over, not fussed about. They get a nice little routine. They could go on as long as you want like that. Or they're much more able to do that. And I think there are definitely other people who just go fucking stir crazy and turn to hustling, selling this, doing that as a coping mechanism because they have to be busy. In the outside world, they'd be entrepreneurs. They'd be doing this, that. That's how they need to do it, to exist. And you can't, you can't do that in Flowplast, so in the recycling centre. So they have to do it on the inside, and so I think that's. Hadn't we thought of that? That's like a. You probably look at that. That's it is a coping mechanism. It's trying to stop yourself going.
Well,
going
what would mad you actually do though? What would you actually do if you got a big bird?
It's hard to know.
It's hard.
I'd ride it out. Look, my nature is I'm not like a. I'm not a hustler or anything like that, so I don't laugh, Claire.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I mean, it obviously affected your guys' mental health in terms of emotionally saying that you've had really difficult times. What did you witness from other people in terms of their mental health? Or did you see things more extreme than your experiences?
Especially my first sentence in Winston Green, a lot of people tried to hang themselves. One person did hang himself and killed himself. A lot of people had to get put on suicide watch, where obviously their door would just be just barred off. So someone, an officer would have to sit by their door for 24 hours just to cater to them and make sure they're all right. So a lot of people deal with it differently. A lot of people turn to drugs. A lot of people find different sort of...
Drugs is a big one, I think.
Yeah, a lot of people use a lot of coping mechanisms to deal with it. So in terms of mental health, for me, I think probably reading, gym was a big thing for me. I felt like gym, even now, gym probably keeps me sane. Mm. It's like my release. So a lot of people... I think jail is the kind of place to learn about yourself and know how to deal with things. Because even now, on the outside, when situations arise, I know what I can and can't cope with. And I know how to deal with things better, probably from my experiences I've had before.
Yeah, That's true. Yeah, no, I think I, same as boats, I think I saw, a fair amount of people self-harming, a couple of suicides in different places I was in. Like mental health is a massive issue in there. I think, you know, just observing the amount of people.
Are you talking about pre-existing mental health conditions or?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'm in a position to, you know, I didn't see. I can't comment on that. I guess it's difficult. It's difficult to say on that because
But even saying that, inside. Jail can turn you crazy. Because when you, if you think about it, you're locked in a cage, basically. Like that's enough to turn someone crazy.
We definitely saw instances of people that were outwardly seemingly fine go.
Some people couldn't do their bang up.
Go like you know go nuts in there and turn in there. But then I also imagine it's not the best environment if you've got a pre-existing mental condition locking you in a room with on your own or with someone else who's you know going to make that. So I don't think that's going to make it better.
No.
I mean I'm not an expert, so I think you see you know you that's why you know I don't you just saw, it's so widespread people. You know, drug abuse and that kind of stuff. You sort of, I remember looking at that and thinking that's got to be linked. It's got to be like, you know, people, it's the only way they see of dealing with issues. You know, if they've got issues on the outside, you know, if you think a lot of the demographic of people in there, the chances are there's going to be a higher proportion of those that are because, you know, have got issues. And because a lot of the time that's why they're in there. You know, they might, you know.
And did you experience that yourselves? Or, like, did you get bad news while you're in there?
Yeah, I did. Like, someone I'd known died. I did get, but not saying I'm super thick skinned, but my headspace when I was in jail was, I mean, I can't deal with anything, so you just have to just try not to think about it. So that was my way. I just used to ignore things like that. But some people like would deal with things differently and really struggle. We really be down, and obviously jail's. It's a dog-eat-dog world, so you might have a good cellmate, but he's not necessarily going to be fucking there to rub your back and be a shoulder to cry on. It's kind of you have to crack on your own. So some people might not have anyone to talk to or they might feel like they have to keep it in themselves. So it's
really
tricky.
Difficult one, actually. Because a mate of mine suffered a bereavement when he was in their close family member died. And I remember just watching that thinking, fucking hell, that's just hard to deal with. Like you say, it's just such a difficult environment because you can't really grieve properly because you're so wary that...
And you're helpless.
Can't be, you don't want to be seen, you know, like, you don't know how people are going to react to that.
Yeah.
And it's a funny one, that, because you see a fair bit of it. Like, obviously, you know, that number of people in there, you know, you've got people... I remember in Rochester, a guy, his son had died and they were, you know, he didn't even know if they were going to let him out for the funeral. Mm. So that's the thing. So on some of those, so for grandparents, they won't let you out for the funeral.
Yeah,
necessarily you have to get a specialist
position. Direct relative,
almost unheard of. So it's only if it's like your thing immediate family, and then it's not guaranteed that you'd be allowed out under supervision. You know what I mean? One of the lads we were friendly with in Rochester, I think his on a previous stint, he said his sister or brother had died, and he was talking about he was allowed to go, but he was handcuffed to an officer, and he was allowed to go for like an hour, and then as soon as the service was finished, he was straight back in the sweatbox and had him off and stuff. And
but even that's kind of at the officer's discretion.
Pardon?
That's kind of at the officer's discretion.
Yeah, it's always at discretion. So I assumed, when that stuff happened, I assumed that you'd be allowed to go. Like that was just my impression of it. And then, you know, when you hear of it in there, it's really... not sure. And you think that's got long-term implications for someone. You know, you aren't able to go to your, you know, some people in there were raised by their grandparents and stuff. And, you know, then they're not allowed to go to their funeral.
There's no understanding of kind of like non-traditional nuclear families or what different relationships mean in cultures and
exactly.
things.
And like, there were definitely instances of that where I saw that really deeply impact person. You know, and look, I think not while I was in there, but I've suffered bereavement. So I know the impact that can have on you. And I've struggled with it. In the ideal environment, I've got the rest of my family, really good relationship with them, really loving environment and stuff like that. So, and I've struggled to deal with that in that environment. So if I remember thinking like, fucking hell, I'm so glad none of this happened while I was in there. Cause you don't know what would happen in that sense. So I think, you know, that's definitely a big one.
And even happy things happening on the outside. What was that like to receive news of? I mean, you've talked about friends.
I kind of feel like you're missing out as well.
Yeah.
You're missing out. Like a few of my friends have had babies. I got made godfather to a few babies that were born while I was inside. And it's a nice feeling and you get that 10 seconds of joy. But then home and you think,
tin sadness.
Yeah, like you're missing.
It's another thing you're missing.
Yeah, like as much as it's a nice gesture to have been made a good father, a good parent, etc. Ultimately, you're missing it. You're not there. So it's bittersweet. It's very bittersweet.
What about other stuff missing out on? Like, Rob, you were telling the story of before I don't know if your cellmate or someone you met who was asking about, you know, iPods and how many of those he'd need. Was there stuff that you realised had moved on without you, even in relatively short periods of time?
Good question.
Bro, technology changed so much. I remember the first time I went away. I came out.
What year was that?
2014.
Right.
I just came out. I can't remember, but there was like a new iPhone out, and that was only in a 6-month period. Like, just so many things have changed.
I don't know whether it's more perceived, whether you're like expect. I don't know whether it's. I don't think I was away long enough for that to necessarily be an issue.
Or like news, or did you miss any elections you couldn't vote in? Like anything that you sort of.
Sure, we did.
I'm sure we must have. I'm sure there was. And then, so that's what I mean. So I think in terms of like big landmark stuff, necessarily, but you know, you definitely come out and you realise that the world has moved on. And yeah, there's just like, I think you probably appreciate how much in the background you pick up in your day-to-day life here, I think. And
right.
Then you realise that you're out of kilter.
Mm.
It's, you know, it's a bit like when you're watching a pirate DVD and you realise that the sound dubbing's off.
Yeah.
It's a bit like that, you know, where like the lips are moving and it's not quite in sync. So it's that weird kind of feeling, I think, where, you definitely come out and feel like you've missed out. I think a lot of it was, like I said, like, weddings is a big one actually, because they're like landmark moments in, you know, like people you've known, people I'd known since I was 12 years old at school, getting married and stuff. And that's kind of like, oh, he's married now. And you're like, and that like their lives move on. So once they're married, they're living, all that kind of stuff. So people move in together. Like they might have just been dating when you went away, and then you
people
come out and they're living together.
Yeah,
and
people getting pregnant.
And you're in the exact same place. Well, not even further behind
even
than
further
you were.
Back. Yeah, that's the thing. You feel like you've gone backwards. Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's almost it, that you feel it's not such a perception that they've moved on. You just feel like you've regressed, if anything.
Yeah. Because ultimately, even people elevate, people change. So while you're in jail, you kind of stagnate. You don't progress in that meantime. So even like coming out, and my little brother had passed his test long before I'd went away, but I'd come out to him driving, him picking me up and driving me. I was thinking, what the fuck? You're a little baby and you're driving me around. Like, it feels so mad. Like, so many things change like that. Like, the face recognition on iPhones, that wasn't around when I was in jail. Like, little things like that. Like, yeah, very surreal.
Did you manage any sort of sense of achievements? Obviously different achievements to those of your friends getting married and moving in. But did you manage to feel that at all in any way? Like practically or emotionally or?
I think it's cliche, but I think I became a lot stronger mentally. I think obviously being in jail before, you learn how to be comfortable in your own, space, etc. But I think I became more positive. Being in that cell on my own taught me how to be mentally strong, taught me how to, like I used to do things like affirmations. Like, I used to wake up in the morning and like speak positivity into existence and stuff like that. And that's something I do now. Like, I've learned a lot about being positive. I just think I grew up a lot. I grew up a lot as a man, and I think I achieved a lot mentally in terms of growing up. That's what,
like,
I'd
personal
say.
Development.
Yeah, personal development.
Up,
yeah,
you came out.
Yeah,
personally.
And was that all that you were doing, or was that anything encouraged by the prison?
No, it was all my doing.
All your doing.
I feel like the prison didn't help me in any way. I think it's all up to you kind of thing. I don't know how rough it, but I felt like it was all up to me to do that. Like, no one told me to read books and stuff like that. I never used to read books, so it's just something that you just have to take upon yourself.
I don't know about saying the prison doesn't help anyone, but I think the people I saw do the best were the ones that took accountability for that themselves, that took it upon themselves to go, right, I've got to, you know, sort myself out here. Those are the people that I saw come
flourish.
Out the best or flourish, the most in there. And I think the same as both. I mean, I can't say I did like the affirmations and things, but I think, you know, you hear anecdotally, like, or chatting to people, that is a massive thing. You know, if I meditated in there. So I'd thankfully done a bit of like mindfulness on like one of those apps before I went in. I found that hugely helpful. So even just like 5 minute breathing exercise and stuff, I think, and you know, we were talking about earlier about stuff you come out, I watched that really help me, because you're in a situation where,
yeah, you become quite in tune with yourself.
Mentally, you could spiral and you go something like that, like mindfulness, bit of meditation, 2-3 minutes can just reset you and do that. And so I came out going, oh, and I think there's real benefit in doing that yourself. So you go, oh, like, look, I think overall you come out and you go, I can deal with this myself. So there's, you know, there's that kind of, if I can deal with that, I can deal with this in the future. I think also, you know, but it's little things also, like, you know, I had to do the gym inductions. So, and I fucking hate public speaking. Like, which is weird, because I, you know, I am quite a confident, like, outgoing kind of guy normally anyway. But I, any kind of public speaking, I think, like, lots of people, I'm not alone, like, it just, I hated it. And weirdly, like, having to stand up in front of 40 inmates once a week and give them the gym induction when they literally, I mean, they're actually telling you to fuck off. Like, that, you know, that helps some of that. So weirdly, you come out and go, well, if I can stand up in front of, like, them and do that, then why I can
you
do
can
this.
You can do something else.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I think there's little things like that.
I mean, Rochester... it's like a working prison, and is compared to other places, there's much more things on offer in terms of to keep yourself busy. Like, well, Jim, you've spoken about loads before. And
I now have a level one qualification in website design. So
in website
if anyone out there wants a website that would be look dated in 1997,
I've seen a few can help you. I'm available. Strange certificates. I've seen head massage. That's a big one. All sorts of strange certificates come out.
Yeah, I think it's so much that there was like bricklaying, wasn't there? There was bricklaying. Yeah. So there was like quite genuine. There was a plumbing course. I nearly did a plumbing course.
Waste management.
So in that sense, you go that there is an effort there being made to help people find work on the out. Personally, I decided before I went in, so I'd had like office jobs before I went in, but I decided before I went to prison that I wanted to be a personal trainer when I got out. So I knew that was like genuinely something that kept me going. Like, I knew what I wanted to do on the other side. And thankfully in Rochester, I managed to gain my qualification, which was a huge thing for me in that last like 5 months. Like, we talked about that bit where you stagnate and it's fucking Groundhog Day. What kept me going through that, I think, to a large extent, was the knowledge that I was getting a qualification in there. That meant that as soon as I got out, I was going to be able to, largely going to be able to go and try and find work doing something I wanted to do. So that made a big, big difference for me, having that kind of like, yeah, something to grab onto that felt like I was moving forward. Mm. Like, that it meant that I was going to come out at the end of my sentence, you know, better off than when I went in, because I was going to have a qualification that I was going to use.
Yeah, and
I
have. Quite a unique situation, actually.
But I'm in the minority in that sense.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I can't think of many other people that
there's not in, that many useful went things.
Went in, got a bricklaying qualification and came out and went into bricklaying. Yeah. You know, a lot of the guys in there already had qualifications or already had a job and they were going to go back into those. But yeah, I think.
What about you, Boats?
Yeah, just as what I said before, I don't really think I took much out of the prison giving me anything. I just think it was all myself having to make do with what I've got and having to build for myself. So I was going to say to Rob, if you didn't have to do a personal training course, do you think you would be like me? You would have thought that the prison didn't really offer you much?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think outside of that qualification, the reality is there's a lot of what you see of like what I would call box ticking. I think like there's courses you go on and that kind of stuff. But whether that's because of we're not illiterate and we don't need that basic kind of, a lot of it's like low, like what I would call like basic level, and not low level in a bad way, but just like, you know, they're trying to help
entry
people
level.
That can't. Yeah, entry level, like, you know, that can't read or write. There's a lot of effort that goes into those guys. Whereas, you know, you're right. You know, you're a personal trainer. You had a job. You're, you know, educated. You're a bright guy. Going in. Like, you know, it's not like you're going to a uni. So, yeah. I mean, like, in terms of whether they're just not set up for that kind of development, like, you're already at a high level, like I say. So I think But to answer your question, no. If it's outside of that qualification, I don't think that the prison really did anything for me in that structured way.
And in terms of your offences, addressing your offences. So we spoke in the last episode about this notion of a sentence plan, which gets put together between, you know, probation on the outside and your offender supervisor on the inside to kind of progress you. And I guess you guys didn't have hugely long sentences that required an amount of what they would call like intervention work to address your offending behaviour.
Do you mean anger issues or something? Or like,
yeah, so, you know, there's these kind of prison courses that, you know, prison offending behaviour courses, and they're a bit, you know, one size fits all, but there might be one about thinking skills, or there might be one about anger management. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that would often be group work. You guys didn't participate in group work like that?
No, not me.
I got given a...
Do you know anyone who did of the people you were with? Or they maybe already achieved it by the time they'd come to Rochester?
I know people that got made to do classes.
Like steps to the gate or something? Is it one where they have to go, that's all classes?
Yeah.
But I didn't hear any... I never heard... Like, you didn't really... It's not the kind of stuff you chat about, to be honest, in there.
Right.
Or it would be someone going, oh, I went to one and then fucked it off and didn't bother going after that.
Did you know anyone going through, like, parole process?
From everyone I heard of,
had
the only contact anyone had was that, like, if you had got HDC, if you're on tag, they'd check your property was... You need to fill out a form so they can check what your property is and make sure that's suitable for you. But outside of that, I never had any contact with probation, parole, until my day of release, and then you're...
Yeah.
Right.
Literally on your day of release, they just tell you to go to probation.
That's well, release, we're going to come on to as a whole separate thing, preparing for it. So maybe we'll leave it there and start on release next time.
No problem.
Yeah?
That's good.
Yeah.
Get me out of it.